morning's gospel lesson is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, the parable of the talents. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So ends the reading of the word.
So thank you, Ed, for the reading. I also want to thank Faith and Max for the beautiful message. Great job. I want to thank all of you because, you know, over the last few Sundays, we've talked about a topic that people don't really listen to, enjoy listening to, and that's talking about our resources, our finances, our money. So thank you for being open to the Word of God as it spoke to you over these last few weeks. And today, of course, is Stewardship Sunday, so before we move on to Advent next year, we will talk once more about this topic of stewardship. But before we do that, I invite you to pray with me. Lord our God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for this day in which we acknowledge your Son Jesus as King, King of the universe, King of our lives, our Lord, our Savior. May we always remember who it is we serve, who it is that is control, not just of our lives, but also the world. So we give you honor and praise on this beautiful day. And thank you for our children and for the message you have for them as well. Thank you for all of those who participate in this brown bag ministry, this drive to collect food for those who are in need. Thank you for our children being involved with that and for those who take leadership. And God, we thank you for this worship service, just this opportunity to be here in your presence with one another. I thank you for those online. I lift them up before you too as we all bow in worship this morning. And now I ask that you would bless us with your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Michael Donnelly, a former financial advisor, lied to 13 of his clients, all but one over the age of 60, and he stole almost $2 million from them. And two of those people, a couple, were 81 and 83 years old. Donnelly told them, as he did with the others, that he would invest in financial products on their behalf. And he provided updates that assured them that the investments were doing well. But instead, he diverted the funds to his personal accounts and spent the money on cars and private schools for his children and golf memberships. And this particular couple gave him almost $800,000 of their life savings. Finally, his scheme fell apart, and in 2016, he was sentenced to 99 months in jail and post-prison supervision. And he was ordered to pay restitution and to never be involved with securities again and never act as a financial advisor again. But the sad truth is, Donnelly is not the only weasel who's bilked people out of their life savings. Unfortunately, this kind of scenario occurs far too often. So here in Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story about a man with some money. And he turns this money over to three financial advisors. In the story, they're called servants, but when we hire a financial advisor, they work for us, right? So they are our servants, so to speak. And so the client, the master, gives three people an opportunity to make him some more money, the chance to get the best possible yield. And of course, the client is going to be very happy with the one who gets him the most money. And so what happens? Let me give you a brief recap of the story. The businessman had 8 talents to invest. A talent was equivalent to 15 years of wages for a simple day laborer. So let's just say about $800,000. And the client diversifies his portfolio by taking his $800,000 and dispersing it to 3 financial gurus. And he has a good feeling about the first advisor, and he gives him the most, $500,000. He gives the second guy $200,000, and he gives the third guy $100,000. And this distribution, the Bible says, is in line with their abilities. It's in line with the opinion of the client, who's called the master in this text. And he's confident that when he returns from a long trip, one or all of his investment bankers will produce a healthy return for him. Now, if you think about it, it was a good strategy, because when he left, his portfolio was worth $800,000, and when he returned, its value had shot up to $1.5 million. And the first guy got into trading and doubled his client's investment, and the second did the same with his $200,000. But the third banker, being no genius, did something different. He was so risk adverse that he simply held his client's money in escrow, basically in a hole in the ground. And then he returned the principal. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. It was a wash. Now, the client was not happy with this third guy, and he fired him on the spot. He calls him worthless, and probably a few other names that don't translate well from the Aramaic. But the authorities were called in, and the fellow was thrown into prison, it says, into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I guess that's just a quick summary of what happens in the story. So let me ask you, what if you were Jesus' investment advisor. I don't know if you knew this, but we actually are, okay? We are stewards of what the Lord has given us. We have a responsibility to use what God has given us in a way that increases the principle. So then, who is really who in this story? Well, the master in the story is Jesus. The journey is Jesus' ascension. He's leaving this earth to go back to God the Father. The servants are us Christians who are waiting for the second coming. The talents, well, that would be the blessings that God has given us to use for His glory. Our money, our brains, our skills, our talents, our time. And the master's return is the second coming, and the master's assessment is the final judgment. So let me make some observations on this, on our stewardship, what we call our stewardship Sunday. There are a few highlights that I just would like to point out to you. First, obviously, the Lord has given us something to invest. God has given us something to invest. And it's something all of His disciples understood, by the way. Jesus had given them something. He said to them, as soon as the Holy Spirit came, you would have all you need to work on increasing the client's investments. He said in Luke, and I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised, but you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's easy for us to, you know, kind of like dismiss this idea that God has given us something to invest for the sake of the kingdom. Maybe this kind of like persona of the guy with the talents, who did nothing with the talents, might look good to the rest of us, but God is not buying it, okay? He's not buying that. Because you see, this idea of burying the money in the ground may seem odd, it might seem silly to us today, but in Jesus' day, this was a perfectly acceptable method of safeguarding valuables. It was also a long-standing teaching that anyone who buries money that has been put into its care is no longer liable for its safety. It's automatically assumed that the person has taken the safest path available to ensure the money's well-being by burying it in the ground. And so this servant, you know, probably felt secured in the knowledge that he had taken a safe and prudent course of action on his master's behalf. The master, however, didn't see it that way. Because the moment this servant opens his mouth, he betrays the selfish motives that prompted his actions. He didn't bury the money to keep it safe. He did it to keep his own neck off the chopping block. It was actually cowardly. It was self-serving. He was afraid of the master, and his own fears undermined the sense of accountability that his master expected of him. So, fueled by fear, he opted for faithless inactivity. Faithless inactivity, and that did not please the master at all. So, you see, we have some accountability. We cannot be inactive and do nothing with our blessings. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit of God. And that means you have some investment currency. In this passage, the word talent definitely meant a unit of money. But today we must push the interpretation of talents beyond thoughts of only money. So as a Christ follower, God has given you all kinds of gifts as investment currency, resources to trade with and buy with and barter with, talents to use and grow and develop and increase for the glory of God. You see, we are Jesus' investment bankers, and God gave us some talents to play with. We don't all have the same amount of talents and resources. The master of the story didn't give his financial advisors the same amounts of cash. He distributed his portfolio on his assessment of their abilities. And it's the same with us. He does not give us all the same amount, the same blessings, the same skills, the same strengths, the same brain power, the same social skills, but we all have something to invest. And that's what matters. God has given each and every one of us something to invest for His glory. So second, another issue that becomes clear in the story is that the client expects a healthy return. What he wants to see on his return is that his three investors have made him a pile of cash. And he intends to reward them appropriately. So it would be wrong of us to think, you know, that God is not interested in how we're spending the blessings He's given us, that He doesn't have any expectations of us. He really cares about that. And it's disappointing to Him when we squander our talents and our blessings, when we underutilize our brains and our resources that He gifted us with. Because what we see in this passage is that God expects a return. He wants us to work on good investments with our time and our talent and our treasure. And the other observation is that the investment and the return on investment is solely for the benefit of the client. The master of this story entrusted his three financial advisors with his cash, okay? His cash. He didn't say, go use this money to send, you know, your kids to private school or to buy a luxury yacht to, you know, cruise the Mediterranean or to pay your fees at the country club or whatever. He said, use these funds for my benefit. Because, you know, sometimes we forget that we have a God-given purpose. That the reason we're on this earth is not just to take up space and indulge all of our own wants. We're not here to simply fill our barns with grain or line our pockets with cash for our own use and for our own personal glory. It's not about us all the time. No, the Bible says we should take time to worship God with other people. We need to love our neighbors. We need to invest in people. We have to focus on our spiritual gifts and use them to glorify God and His kingdom. We need to be kind. We need to be helpful. We need to demonstrate hospitality. We need to be mindful of the poor and the destitute and the oppressed. We need to give with gratitude and with joy. And those are just some of the opportunities that we have to bring God a return on investment. Some of the responsibilities we have to God while the Master is away. So the first two guys adopted the same investment strategy. They had the same approach, and they got an astounding 100% return. They doubled the Master's investment. The third guy, you know, he went a different way. He was not so successful. He didn't lose any of his clients' money, but he didn't make any either. And because of that, the Master fired him immediately upon his return. He was tossed in jail, and they threw the key away. It says the first two investors went off and traded. The third investor went off and he dug a hole in the ground. You have to wonder why, right? Why did the first two do what they did and the third do what he did? I mean, what's the psychology here? Now, based on the conversation between the Master and the third investment banker, it looks like this third guy, frankly, was afraid of the client. He looked at his Master as someone who might be angry if he lost all the Master's money. And so he says in verse 24, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." He says, "You're a hard man. You have high standards, and I was afraid I might disappoint you." And the other guys apparently didn't have the same image of the Master. They were quite pleased to be able to serve him. It's possible that they even loved the Master. And you know, love will motivate us far more than fear. Love. So in any case, you know, we've all been given one thing to do, and that is to increase God's portfolio. So we can choose to hone our skills, and we can choose to put our resources to good use, and we can see every day as an opportunity to serve the Lord with our talents. Or we can live for ourselves. We can put all the blessings that God has given us on a shelf, as if they're not relevant for our own purposes. We can refuse to risk kindness. We can neglect the gift of hospitality. We can be poor in living and loving for others, and instead let it be all about ourselves. In other words, we can live in a God-centered world, or we can live in a self-centered world. We can trade with our talents, or we can be too afraid to do anything with them. We can display God's investment, or we can bury it in a hole. We can risk, or we can run. But if we're willing to risk nothing with our talents, we actually risk losing everything. And someday, God will ask all of us, what have we done with the talents that He blessed us with and that He entrusted to us? What will we then say? Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, let me just start by saying, yes, we are all blessed. There's no one who's here in this building today who's not truly blessed by your goodness, by your love, by what you provide for us, by all the resources we have at our disposal, by the gifts and the talents and the opportunities that you've given all of us, all of us. We just have to look around and see other parts of the world and other parts of our community and realize how truly blessed we are. So God, what are we going to do with all of that? Are we going to keep it all for ourselves? Or are we going to invest for your kingdom? Invest our talents, our time, our treasure to bring glory to you, to serve your kingdom. I pray for CCD on this Stewardship Sunday that you will provide us with all we need and that we will use that for your glory. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for everyone online and for all of our members. And I pray that you will make us joyful givers as we celebrate giving thanks. Giving thanks for all your love and all your blessings. In the name of Jesus, who is our Lord, our Master, our Savior. Amen.